This is Caps PA announcer Wes Johnson, and you're listening to For the Pod.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of What the Puck. It is a Washington Capitals podcast. Thank you for listening to us on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Play Music, and Satchel. Well, the regular season has ended. We are now on to the season that matters the most. It is the playoffs. It is the postseason. Everybody's 0-0 right now. All that hard work that the Caps did throughout the regular season doesn't mean a thing anymore. Joining me, as always, is no one. No, I'm kidding. Coach Dan! Welcome back!
That was pretty funny last week.
Thank you.
I was like, well played, sir. Well played.
How you doing? You're back. You're back in hockey country at the best time of year. What's it feel like to be back in town now that the Caps are back in the playoffs?
I picked a good time to be back. I got back on Sunday. I saw a little bit of the game against Florida, where not any of the Capitals really gave a crap about playing in that game. It was all. I mean, I'm sure Stevenson and Mitchell, Garrett Mitchell, very much tried. And they tried to some extent, but I think the biggest thing was just not getting hurt, going through the motions, and getting themselves ready for the big game. Well, at that point, they didn't know what time or when the game was going to be, but that big game that was coming up.
Right. There was a lot of players that sat. Like, TJ Oshie didn't play. Brett Connolly.
Oshie, Williams, and who was the last one?
Connolly? A couple of the older guys. But Connolly didn't play. He was sick. John Carlson, he didn't play.
They're too old to play.
Yeah. We'll talk about Carlson coming up. But let's just put a bow on this regular season. Pretty much a regular season that was almost a carbon copy of last year. I think they came up 1 point short of tying last year's record, which was a franchise high. But individually, Capitals had pretty big seasons this year. There was a lot of different milestones hit. You know, Backstrom, Ovi, Trotz all had milestones this year. So, I mean, for a regular season, you don't want to say a perfect regular season, but this was a pretty great regular season for the Capitals. They went through almost in the entire they barely lost anyone to injury. It was like nobody long term, not like Brooks Orpik.
Don't jinx it, man.
It wasn't like Orpik last year with the hip. You know, Oshie missed a couple games.
Hey, anybody gets hurt, I'm coming after you, Brandon.
Well, that was the regular season. This postseason, everybody's healthy. But this regular season.
Oh, my God. You're going to jinx it. What are you doing?
This regular season, it was a good one. This was a pretty standard regular season for the Caps. And it was fun to be a Caps fan this year.
Yeah. I mean, well. Sometimes it's a little frustrating, which is why it's almost amazing to see that they came out on top of the NHL again with the way they're playing at times. And it just goes to show you that this team really is incredibly talented, but are they prepared to take that next step and rise? It sounds so cliche, but rise to the occasion that is the Stanley Cup playoffs. And unlike years past where they kind of coasted into it, it seems like this year they really were ready for the playoffs. And they've been playing some of their best, and the game against Florida doesn't count. But they really were playing their best hockey and some of their best hockey at the end of the season.
Well, I mean, what was it? Last month or so, they hit like a 4-game losing skid. And I think that really kind of woke them up and made them realize that, oh, these games are going to have implications to how we.
They actually mean something.
Yeah, you know, so that was a good thing because last year, even Jay Beagle came out and said, you know, last year towards the end, we really weren't playing for anything. It was hard to get motivated. And this year, they got the President's Trophy again, but it was a little bit later in the season.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't matter when – I don't even care about the President's Trophy. This isn't the Premier League or any of the European football leagues where all you have to do is get the most points and you automatically have won the league. It's about getting to the playoffs, and once they got to the playoffs, that was the biggest thing. Now it's about staying healthy and playing your best hockey at the right time because we've seen teams in the past like the Penguins or the LA Kings that they got hot at the right time, and that's how they go and win the Cup.
And even though that Florida game didn't mean a lot, it did mean a whole bunch to Garrett Mitchell, who got called up from the Hershey Bears. He's been with the Bears, I believe, 6 years. Never had an NHL game under his belt. He gets called up. Backstrom gets kicked out of the opening faceoff to let Garrett Mitchell take that opening
faceoff. Clearly on purpose.
Yeah. So, I mean, this was a big deal for this kid, and the Caps knew it. The Caps treated him well. They did the prank at the beginning where, you know, he skated out all by himself. So, I mean, this is probably a day that Garrett Mitchell thought, at this point in my career, this is never going to happen. I'm a lifetime AHLer. So for him to get one NHL game under his belt, that's a huge deal for him.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was it's always nice to see. We've seen in the past. I remember I went to a game, years ago now, back when they sucked, in the early Ovechkin era. And they brought up Mel Engelstad, whatever his name was. I don't even remember him. And it was nice to see that you could see that this is a career AHLer, that he's never going to really play in the NHL. And they brought him up to play just because. Why not? They had nothing to lose at that point, and they just wanted to give this guy an opportunity to live the NHL lifestyle and play in a real-life NHL game. And so I thought it was definitely a classy move by the organization to give him this opportunity to play.
Absolutely. So,
and then they sent him down after the game.
Yeah, and you had your day in the sun. Now get back down there. Be the captain that you got to be in the AHL. So good for him. But regular season overall, great for the Capitals. Got them where they needed to be. And now here we are. We are in the postseason. We are in the playoffs. Capitals are atop the NHL, atop the East, atop the Metro. Very different opponent than what we're used to. This is the first time the Capitals have faced the Toronto Maple Leafs in the Stanley Cups, at least to open it up.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy.
Yeah, this is completely brand new territory. And you know what? I like that. I like that there's no backstory here because, you know, we were talking a couple weeks ago about how if it was the Bruins, you know, that was where we really saw Braden Holtby shine for the first time up against the Bruins. You know, I forget who it was who tried to take a slash at Holtby and he just stood there. You know, we dismantled Tim Thomas in Game 7 under Dale Hunter. So we were like, oh, you know, there's a lot of history there. There's a lot of history with the Flyers. There's a lot of history of this, that, whatever. But there's no history up against the Toronto Maple Leafs. And I like that because there's no pressure of
time to make some history.
Yeah, this is what we have to do because now the only storyline that there is this is not personal. This is all about winning.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes it's nice to have those extra storylines. They're like, oh, it could be this or this could happen. It's kind of fun. And look at the Crosby Ovechkin. No. But this is just going to be on these two teams. And the thing we've always seen is that Ovechkin loves to play in Canada, mm-hmm. in Toronto, in Montreal. So I think he's going to step up in the series. And I think this is a fast Toronto team, but I think the Capitals defensively are strong enough that they're going to be able to compete with these guys. And I'm not as concerned about their speed as long as defense stays healthy. I know there's some concerns about John Carlson and how he's going to be doing and if he's even going to be able to play in the first game. But Toronto's got their own injury situations going on. There's word as to whether Frederick Anderson's going to be playing in that first game. I think the last thing I saw says that they're expecting him to be ready. But you never know. And so it's going to be interesting to see what happens with that team, being the Maple Leafs, who they have in goal and what team they put out there. But they have three very talented young players at least in Austin Matthews and William – I almost said Michael Nylander. William Nylander and – isn't he Mitch Marner? Or Mariner, these are very good, talented guys, and the Caps defense is going to have to step up and be ready, or it's going to be Montreal all over again.
Right, and the Caps, they've been up against the Toronto Maple Leafs a couple times this year. They lost in November. That's because I honestly think the Toronto Maple Leafs just skated circles around them. They were slow. They weren't ready for a team like this.
Yeah, that game was ugly.
It was, but I think the Capitals learned from that, and I think the Caps also looked at themselves and saw a little bit of themselves in Toronto because this is a team made up of young guns, and the Capitals, you know, Backstrom and Ovechkin and Semin and Green, they were the young guns back in the day, so they know what it's like, and they've been there before, so they know how to shut that kind of stuff down, and they know how to play against it. And yes, this Toronto team is fast, and yes, that does worry me. But the last game the Caps had against them, which was merely a week or so ago, it ended up being 4-1 because the Capitals knew how to defend against that speed. I don't think they're going to be able to match that speed, but if the Capitals can come out and dictate the play, they can slow it down a little bit. You got big guys like Winnick and big guys like Wilson who can kind of slow these guys down a bit, and I think that's really going to come out and help the Capitals in the long run.
No, I agree. I mean, it's going to, you have the speed, but you also have a lot of the nerves with the Toronto guys that haven't played in the playoffs before, and I think you're going to see that. They're going to be, especially in that first game, they're all going to be running on adrenaline and excitement. The Capitals need to take advantage of the noviceness of them, or the inexperience of these Toronto players. And some of them, I mean, some of them have experience, and you're talking about their head coach being Mike Babcock. That guy's got, you know, plenty of years and years of experience with the playoffs and winning cups. So they're going to be well prepared, and the Capitals have to be ready to stand up to that and come out flying. I think the first 10-15 minutes on Thursday night is going to be very interesting.
I'm right there with you, and to be honest, that first 10-15 minutes, I'm going to put that in Toronto's pro column. I really think that they're going to come out swinging.
Really?
Yeah, I do, because I think they're going to come out.
I don't think it'll be that long.
They're going to come out.
I think after every player's second or third shift, they're going to settle in a little bit, and the excitement's going to wear off, and then it's just going to be skill.
I think they're going to come out swinging. I really do. I really think that they're going to try to make an impact fast, and if the Capitals can slow down the Toronto Maple Leafs, and they can also wear them down a little bit. You know how you have a puppy, and you let the puppy out back, and the puppy just runs circles around the yard, and you're like, just let him go, let him wear himself out. That's what the Caps need to do with these Toronto kids. Just let them wear themselves out. You know, let them do all this crazy stuff. And then, because they, like, right now in their mind, you know, I think they're thinking it's not a 7-game series. You know, they're going to try to come out, and they're going to try to get the first point, and they're going to try to do this and do that. Not really. Holy crap, we got to play these guys 6 more times if this kind of stuff happens. So I think the Caps can play the long game. Toronto doesn't know how to do that yet. And I think that it'll be a great matchup and a great series. But Toronto, I think, is going to come out swinging. Caps are going to have to answer that and make sure that they shut that down before it gets out of hand. They cannot let Toronto dictate the game, and they can't let the speed get in the way of their game plan.
Every time you say shut that down, I imagine Negan.
Yeah, Negan on a United Airlines flight.
Oh, timely. I actually flew United, and I'm glad that didn't happen to me. I was actually in Chicago.
Oh, really?
I ended up flying American home from Chicago, but I flew United out on my trip.
Well, that might be your last time flying United, because I think somebody's about to own that airline.
I'm not flying them ever again. But no, I think going back to the topic at hand, with the Capitals and the Maple Leafs, I think that this is a very interesting series, and the Caps cannot look at it like, okay, we just have to, you know, we'll get through this one and move on to the next thing. They need to focus on what is in front of them.
Oh, yeah.
Bad things are going to happen.
This is not a team to take lightly. And ESPN and a bunch of other analysts have the Caps winning this, and kind of like every single person saying,
statistically they should.
Right, but they're having the Caps winning it with ease. Like, they're saying 4 games, like 4-0, that's it. This Toronto team is not.
I wouldn't mind.
I would love that as well, but I also think this Toronto team isn't going to be a pushover. You know, they are full of really talented players. Auston Matthews was drafted number 1 in the draft class this past year. That means something. You know, it does.
He's a very talented player, but they're going to have to find a way to shut him down. I wouldn't be surprised to see if Carlson's healthy, Shattenkirk, Alzner, those guys going up against him.
Yeah, so let's talk a little bit about John Carlson. So he missed the last 4 games of the regular season. We're recording this on Tuesday night. They had their first practice this morning. He was not practicing with Carl Alzner. Nate Schmidt was in that spot, but he was doing some power play stuff on the second unit. So it's kind of unclear where John Carlson's going to be in the lineup, if he's in the lineup at all, for game 1. What's your take on that? What does this team what do they need to do here if John Carlson isn't ready for game 1?
I mean, Schmidt's been playing well, so I'm not overly concerned if he's out.
And did you see what Braden Holtby did to his head? He looks like a bad guy from Dragon Ball Z. It's really bad.
Oh, man, it's a terrible haircut. He looks so stupid. And how would he not be like, screw it, just shave the whole thing?
Yeah, unless Schmidt's just kind of like, this is funny.
Well, yeah, there is that too. So I wouldn't be surprised if that was the case where he like, this is terrible. That's screwed. I'm leaving it. Says he looks damn ridiculous.
I mean, a couple weeks ago we were talking about Schmitty sitting. Oh, that sucks. We don't like that. And we all agreed he's talented, but he's the seventh most talented guy here. So, I mean, I don't think it's bad to have him on the ice, but John Carlson sitting, not being on the ice, I think that hurts a little bit more than Schmitty adding to the team.
I mean, Schmidt's been playing well when he's had his opportunities, and so I don't think it's the worst thing in the world, but it's definitely, you know, Carlson is definitely a better player than Schmidt is, and it would be good to have Carlson playing, but it's also nice to have that defensive depth.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. So we'll see what happens, but I'd like to have John Carlson in that lineup. I definitely think he adds a lot to this team, especially on the power play. And even though I like Schmidt, I like to see him on the ice, Carlson's a little bit more important than Schmidt, in my opinion. So,
ouch!
Sorry.
That's harsh, Schmidt.
Sorry, but it's true.
Better watch out, he's going to come after you. Didn't you meet Schmidt?
No, I never met Schmidt.
Wait, who was the guy you had sign your Weagle thing?
It's somebody.
No, you gave a t-shirt to.
Alexi.
Oh, that's who it was. Yeah. Okay.
Who could come up for the Maple Leafs?
Oh, God, I didn't even think about that. Holy crap, I didn't even think about the connections here. Oh, do they recall Brooks Lake?
They could recall Brooks Lake. We're up against Connor Carrick. I think Eric Fair's hurt for the rest of the year. So I don't think Eric Fair is playing.
Of course he is.
Yeah.
Is it one of his shoulders again?
I think so, actually.
Oh, sorry, dude.
So we could see Alexi. We could see Brooksy. We're definitely going to see Connor Carrick. He's the number one guy. But you were bringing up that the goalie situation in Toronto is kind of interesting because we don't know who's going to be in net. Their go-to goalie didn't play the last two games of the season. So it looks like they might have a little bit of a couple injuries to worry about.
I think the last thing I saw is they're expecting him to play, but that's definitely something for the Capitals to keep an eye on.
And, I mean, we're very happy with Holtby and Grubauer, but, you know, we've been Halak'd in the past. Do the Toronto Maple Leafs have a goalie that not matches up with Holtby, but, what's his talent range? Like, what is strength, weaknesses that the Caps can focus on with this guy?
I mean, if you're playing in the NHL, you're clearly a talented goalie, especially if you're playing every night. So they have to treat every goalie similar in the fact that they can steal a game. And that's what you have happen in the playoffs, where goalies like Halak, like you mentioned, will steal a series for a team or even take their team at, you know, all the way to the cup finals or at least conference finals.
Who's now in the AHL, by the way?
Yeah. Well, you know, sucks to be him. Well, not really, because he's still making probably a good amount of money to play hockey, which I'm sure
ain't bad.
You know, both of us wouldn't mind doing. But it's a thing where goalies can definitely steal a series, and you hope that Holtby's able to do that at some point if the guys aren't playing well. But I think they have to treat Anderson just like he's a guy or whoever may be in goal, like they are a star goalie, and just get in the goalie's face and apply as much pressure and make the game as tough as possible for them. Can't just continually take shots from the outside and give the goalie a good look every time, because you're not going to score that way.
And the Capitals have been known this year of just taking as many shots as they possibly can. We've seen Marcus Johansson come out with some beauties, and Yevgeny Kuznetsov come out with some beauties. And, you know, I definitely think this is going to be a good series. I think the Capitals have the upper hand. Let's finish up talking about this series for right now. I'll end it with saying that I think the Capitals are a strong team. I think they can get past the Maple Leafs due to the fact that they do run four lines deep. Auston Matthews, the young guns on the Toronto Maple Leafs, they're solid. They're going to give the Caps some hard time, but the Capitals are four lines strong. You don't know what each line is capable of, and I like that because all four lines can score, all four lines can play defense, and the defense is solid. The goalies are solid. Should be a fun series, but the Capitals, I think overall, they have the upper hand.
I would agree. I actually think that the longer the series goes, it more it favors the Capitals merely because of the experience.
Mm-hmm.
that the Caps have compared to the Maple Leafs players. And while the coaching experience, at least from the head coaching experience, probably favors Toronto to some extent, the experience of the players definitely heavily favors Washington. So the longer the series goes, I have to imagine it helps or favors these Capitals players.
Absolutely. So anything else?
So you would hope.
Anything else we should cover in Caps world?
Oh, yeah. Some congratulations are not only to Garrett Mitchell for getting his first NHL game on Sunday, and maybe more in the future. You never really know. But the Caps signed prospect, and I'm going to totally butcher this guy's name, but Beck Melanson to a 3-year entry-level contract beginning with the 2017-2018 season. Melanson is also currently on a tryout agreement with Hershey. So it sounds like this is another Caps prospect for us to keep our eyes on. And, of course, congratulations are in order for Holtby and Grubauer as they won the William M. Jennings Trophy, which is the annual award given to the goalkeepers for the team with the fewest goals scored against it. Holtby and Grubauer combined to allow only 182 goals this season, which is the fewest goals against in an 82-game season in Washington Capitals history. This is also the second time that the Caps have won this trophy, the last time being 83-84 when Al Jensen and Pat Riggin were the Capitals' goaltenders. A couple of the notes on those two is Holtby got 9, Grubauer got 3 for a total of 12 combined shutouts this season. It's the most shutouts in a season in Caps history. Holtby led the NHL in shutouts with 9, ranked tied for first in wins with 42, second in GAA with a 2.07, and 4th. In save percentage at .925. So that is pretty cool, and congratulations to those two. And Grubauer, I hope you enjoy warmer weather.
Aw.
It's sad but true.
Yeah. Oh, man. All right. Well, that's it for Caps World. Go Caps. I have a feeling we'll be talking about the Caps a little bit later on in the show, so stick around. We're going to take a break, and we're going to go down on the farm when we get back. But before we do that, here's a word from the Baltimore Sports Report Network.
What the Puck? What the Puck? Is a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Find more podcasts like this at BaltimoreSportsReport.com.
This is Barry Trotz. You're listening to What the Puck.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. We are going down on the farm. We are talking Hershey Bears and South Carolina Stingrays. Coach Dan, what's going on down on the farm?
Well, let's start in Hershey, where in the past 2 weeks they went 3-3 with wins over Lehigh Valley, Rochester, and Toronto. The Bears are currently 4th in the Atlantic Division with a record of 41-22-11, which is good for 93 points. If I have this correct, and I by no means do, Brandon.
Okay.
They only need 2 points to clinch a playoff spot.
You're right. They're in the playoffs right now.
They are in the 4th spot, which is right. The last playoff spot available. If they win one of their last 2 games, which we'll talk about in a moment, they clinch the playoffs. Or if they tie both of them.
Okay.
Or something. I think they're 2 points up on the team beneath them. I'm blanking on who he's at the moment. Both have 2 more games to play. So all they got to do is match them going the rest of the way, which I believe think all he needs 2 points, and they clinch the playoffs. The Bears will wrap up their regular season on Friday in Wilkes-Barre Scranton and Saturday at the Giant Center against Providence. Let's head on down to South Carolina, where the Stingrays went 4-1 with wins over Orlando, Atlanta, and Cincinnati. South Carolina finished the regular season 3rd in the South Division with a record of 40-28-4, which is good for 84 points and a spot in the ECHL playoffs.
Yeah.
Their run to the Kelly Cup begins Thursday against Greenville. They play Thursday and Friday in Greenville, then head home to the North Charleston Coliseum for games 3 and 4. That's what's going on down on the farm.
All right, so the Stingrays doing well, doing what they got to do. They're in the Kelly Cup playoffs, so good luck to them. Bears, they got 2 more games. Hopefully they make it into the playoffs. We get to have a little bit more chocolate hockey in the next couple weeks. So go Bears, go Stingrays. Now let's go around the NHL. All right, everybody. everybody. Here we go. We're going around the NHL. Plenty of stuff's going on. The NHL playoffs are going. Lots of empty seats at certain offices, unfortunately. But there's also a lot of fun stuff going on for the teams that have won this year. So, Coach Dan, what's going on around the NHL?
I was like, what is he talking about? Oh, right.
Yeah.
It definitely took me a second. Before we jump into the NHL stuff, let's first congratulate the U.S. Women's National Hockey Team as they won gold at the Worlds, beating those fierce and feisty and generally probably very nice Canadians in the gold medal game. So congratulations to the ladies, as well as suck it, USA Hockey. If you try to dick them over, they went and won anyways. You guys suck. All right, let's jump back into the NHL as the regular season came to a close, and so did a bunch of coaches' jobs. We'll start in Dallas, where they decided not to renew the contract of head coach Lindy Ruff. Ruff went 165, 122, and 41 in his 4 years in Dallas, two of which were playoff teams. So I'm a little surprised they didn't at least sign him to a one-year deal. L.A. surprised me as well. They cleaned house as they fired two-time Stanley Cup winner Daryl Sutter and GM Dean Lombardi. They named Luke Robitaille vice president and Rob Blake their new general manager. Florida, who had already fired Gerard Gallant earlier this season, they'll be looking for a new head coach after they dismissed Tom Rowe as their head coach and general manager. He was only the interim head coach. Not only is he not going to stick around with that job, they kicked him out of the GM spot. Florida president of hockey operations Dale Talon will be the new GM. And Vancouver wasn't going to be left out as they fired Willie Desjardins, as well as assistant coaches Doug Lister and Perry Pern. Everybody getting fired.
Poor guys.
Everybody's gone. Brandon, that's pretty much the interesting news from the past 2 weeks in the NHL. Shall we jump into the playoffs?
I think that's the best place to go. Playoffs are starting. Lots of cool matchups. Lots of good hockey to watch coming up. I think, I don't know about you, but I'm going to be like glued to my TV screen for the next couple weeks.
Where should we start? You want to start in the West or the East?
Let's start in the West. I have a feeling we're going to...
The media neglected West.
Yeah, we're going to talk a lot about the East in a little bit. So let's go out West.
All right, we're going to start in the West. We got Chicago taking on Nashville. Brandon, who do you got?
Now, this is a series I've been talking about for weeks because I've been so excited about it, because I like the veteran leadership of Chicago, and I like the fast game that Nashville has, Philip Forsberg, of course, being the best one there. The regular season, the Blackhawks lead that series 4-1, so I'm going to have to go with the veteran leadership. I got to go with Chicago.
Interesting. Chicago in what?
7.
Well, I got the same thing. I got Chicago in 7. I think Nashville's going to surprise them a bit.
I think Nashville's a great team. I think
Nashville goes up in the series at one point.
Oh, yeah? You think so?
And then Chicago comes back, yeah.
Chicago has just been there before, so they know what's going on. And Nashville, I think in maybe next year or the year after, they're going to be a serious cup contender.
Oh, all right, write that down, everybody. Adam Finkin will be very happy. All right, next up we got Minnesota versus St. Louis. Who do you got?
Ooh, this is another one. This was a toughie. But we know who the coach is for Minnesota, so I'm going with St. Louis.
Wow. That was harsh.
Well, that's true. It's true. We know what happens. Hold
on. And how many games?
I went with 7 again.
Ah, see, I'm going against you. I'm going Minnesota in 6.
Okay. All right. So
I don't see it from St. Louis.
You trust in the Bruce. Okay.
Well, not necessarily. I just trust in their lineup. Although we'll see. If Parise cannot come back, I might go St. Louis in 7.
All right. I got St. Louis. I have no faith in Bruce being able to get out of the first
Parise's
round.
He's got to stop getting hit in the face.
Right. Regular season, the Blues lead at 3-2. So, I mean, they are pretty evenly matched up.
That's true. That's true. I would have liked to have seen St. Louis Nashville. That would have been interesting. All right. Next up, we got Anaheim and Calgary. Brandon, who you got?
Well, you remember a couple weeks ago, I talked about how much I enjoyed watching Calgary when they were in D.C. This was a team that didn't ever say die. They worked really hard. I really like Calgary. They're gonna win this series. 6 games.
Really?
That's my pick. Calgary in six.
I have the same thing. Calgary in six.
Really? This is shocking.
Huh? Interesting. I think we do this every year. All right, next up.
And we're always wrong.
Yeah, sorry, everybody. If you're a fan of Chicago, Minnesota, or Calgary, I apologize in advance. All right, next up, we got the upstart Edmonton Oilers versus San Jose. Who you got?
All right, so this was a toughie because San Jose, obviously, they were going in. They won the West last year. They have Brent Burns, who is a fantastic talent. But towards the end of the season, they kind of let things slip through their fingers, and they don't even get home ice advantage. They were, you know, at the top of the leaderboard for their division, but they let it all slip. But they have been here before, and they do have Brent Burns. So I'm going with San Jose in five.
Interesting. I got Edmonton in five.
Oh, okay. Why Edmonton?
I think the upstart Oilers are just going to come out and shock them. I think San Jose's been struggling, and it's going to continue.
They have been struggling. That was a tough one for me, but I figured, hey, they've been here before. I'm going to go with that that mindset that they've been there before, that they got a little bit more experience at Edmonton. But
no, I think they're out in five.
Okay.
I think Edmonton is going to surprise them. And I don't know, they might even talk about the fact that Edmonton's head coach used to be in San Jose.
Ooh, that's interesting. That's a good point.
So, that'll be interesting. I think Edmonton in five. All right. Let's head over to the East. Montreal and the Rangers. What do you got?
All right. So, I'm not going to lie. I switched this up before we got on air. Montreal, Rangers, both solid teams. Montreal, actually, both teams. Fantastic goaltending. You can't go wrong with Carey Price or Henrik Lundqvist. You know, our buddy Brian O'Halloran, he loves his Rangers, but the Canadiens lead the regular season series with the Rangers 3-0. So I got to go with Montreal seven games.
Two of those games were close, though.
They were close.
You got 5-4 in January.
Yeah, 3-2.
3-2 over the shootout.
Shootout, and then 4-1.
So that doesn't really count.
Right.
And then they whooped them in early March.
But Carey Price, I think he's going to be able to get it done. He's really turned it on since his bye week.
Weber's supposed to be back, right?
Yep.
Yeah. All right, so you said what, Montreal in seven?
Montreal in seven.
I'm going Montreal in six.
Oh, okay. All right. I think the Rangers got a little bit more fight than you do, than you're thinking.
That's it. Yep, that's what I'm going with. All right. Ottawa and the Bruce Cassidy-led Boston Bruins. What do you got?
All right, so this was another one. This was a toughie. I had to look at a couple different things, and the Senators lead the regular season series with the Bruins 4-0. However, the Ottawa Senators have been in a tailspin the last couple weeks, and the Bruins have just turned it on. So I'm going to say Bruins in five.
Interesting. I am going to shock you. Montreal. Sorry, that's not even the right freaking team. Ottawa. I'm looking at my list, and I'm stupid. Ottawa in five.
All right, so we're both thinking five. How come you're saying Ottawa?
We're both thinking five. Because I think they're a better team. Maybe I'm just still under the use here. I'm still frightened by Bruce Cassidy from his time with the Capitals, where he was a freaking idiot. And I just don't think he is able to be a good head coach in the National Hockey League. And he's done well with Boston so far. He got them into the playoffs. But I still think that he's a dumb. And I'm going Ottawa in five.
Okay, that's going to be a great series. I think
Ottawa's going to wake up.
Hopefully they do, but they did not close out this season very well, so that's why I'm going Boston. Boston.
Interesting. So we could have, if I understand this correctly, I would have a Canadian divisional final between Montreal and Ottawa if things go the way I expect.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That would be interesting. Actually, no, I have all the Canadian teams moving on to the next round. Wait, right? Yeah, that's interesting. How that worked out. Anyways, all right, last one. Pittsburgh, Columbus.
Last one. Last one you're going to answer is what
I'm not. I'm not making a prediction for the Caps. Because everyone that I apologize, Canada, since I picked all your teams to win, which means now they're going to lose.
All right. So Pittsburgh, Columbus.
Uh-huh.
This is going to be a bloodbath. This is going to be a rough...
Literally or figuratively?
Both.
Fair enough.
All right, so Columbus, they've got great goaltending. Bobrovsky, one of the best, could give Holpe a run for his money. Vezna. Yeah, for the Vezna. But Pittsburgh, their goaltending is kind of up in the air right now because Matt Murray, I believe, is hurt. They're not really sure what his status is right now. Yevgeny Malkin, they're saying, is going to be ready for game one, but of course he's going to have a little bit of rust. He hasn't played in a while. But the Penguins know how to win in the postseason. So, regrettably, I have to say Pittsburgh in seven.
Yeah, I got the same thing. Yeah, I think Pittsburgh. I would love for Columbus to pull it off, but I think Pittsburgh just has the experience. They have that edge.
Yeah.
I'm going Pittsburgh in seven. I think Columbus puts out a hell of a fight, though.
Yeah, I think it'll go to seven games. You got Tortorella. He's been there before. He knows how to coach the postseason players.
He's a crazy person.
Yeah, he's nutso. So, I mean, we'll see what happens. But a lot of great series to start off the Stanley Cup playoffs. So, are we going deeper? We're doing the rest?
I keep going?
Yeah.
Oh, so, like, all right. So, I...
All right, so let's. You're not going to answer.
I don't know how this. You can do the next one.
All right, so I'm going to say the Washington Capitals do beat the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Not listening.
And I'm going to say it's in five. I think the Toronto Maple Leafs do get a win, but the Capitals can get the job done in five.
All right, so if I had this correctly, in my bracket, I would have Chicago against Minnesota, and I don't even know if that's correct.
Correct. Yes. I have Chicago, St. Louis. So you go first, Chicago, Minnesota in your bracket.
Well, I'm going to write this down so I can remember it later.
The great bracket challenge on the NHL's website.
Yeah, screw that noise.
I tried to make a private league so I can invite people later because, like, I don't know emails off the top of my head. So I was going to just make the brackets or make the league and then invite people later. But apparently when you do a private league – you need to invite everyone immediately, otherwise you can't invite anyone ever again. It's so stupid.
Interesting. All right. What do we got? Chicago, Minnesota. I'm going Chicago in six.
Okay. Chicago, St. Louis for me. I'm going Chicago. And I'm going to say Chicago seven. I'm going to go Chicago in seven.
Chicago's going back to the Western Conference finals for you.
That's what, yeah. I think we're both saying that.
And then I got Calgary and Edmonton. I'm going Edmonton at seven.
All right. So I have right now Calgary against San Jose. I'm going to say Calgary makes it to the conference finals.
Uh-oh.
Beating San Jose, and I'm going to say that's in six games.
Interesting, interesting. I don't even know if I want to do the... Oh, the East, Montreal and Ottawa. I'll take Montreal in seven, and I'm not even touching the rest of it.
All right, so I have Montreal and Boston. I think Montreal goes to the conference finals, and they beat Boston, and that they hate each other, so that'll be seven games. And
I'm not touching that nonsense.
Washington versus Pittsburgh.
I'm taking my headphones out so I can't hear what you say.
Washington beats Pittsburgh. That's what it's got to be. 100%. That's what we got to be against these guys. All right, go ahead.
If this goes poorly, blame Brett. I'm not saying a damn thing.
All right.
Nope. So I got Montreal versus... whomever is coming out of the Metro Division.
All right, so conference-wise, if you're not including the Caps games, you and I have two teams. We have Chicago and Montreal that we both agree on will be in the conference finals.
Yes, and I have Chicago going to the Stanley Cup final in six games over Edmonton.
I have Chicago going to the Stanley Cup finals as well over Calgary in six.
Interesting. All right.
So Chicago will...
I'm not touching the East.
All right.
No freaking thank you.
We won't say our final finals, but...
Nope.
Chicago versus the team that you all are probably thinking is mine. I'll leave it at that.
Doesn't even make any sense.
All right, so is that everything? Have we covered everything?
Yeah, I think so. That's pretty much it. It's plow hockey time! Gotta shave the beard on Thursday morning.
Yeah, I already started growing it. Once I won the President's Trophy, I started growing it out.
And I'm gonna shave it Thursday morning, and that's it. And I'm not gonna touch it. Well, I might shape it up a little bit.
I tried to do that once, and then my razor went down to a one, and I just lost everything. I was so sad.
Sounds like you need a better razor.
I need to learn how to use a razor is the problem.
also not a bad idea.
All right, guys, if you want to continue the conversation with Coach Dan or I, you can. Let us know who you think is going to be the Stanley Cup champions. Let us know on Facebook and Twitter. You can follow me on Twitter at Brando Cash. Coach Dan, where can people tweet to you at?
You can find me on Twitter at WTP Coach Dan, talking all kinds of sports. Not just the Washington Capitals, but talking about what the stupid Redskins are doing and who else they're pissing off this week or trying to throw under the bus, or what's going on with Arsenal Football Club and why they suck. And it's driving me crazy. Brandon, I need a new Premier League team at this point. It's driving me. It's not, I mean, it's not going to happen, but it's just driving me.
I can't help you.
It's driving me up a wall.
You want to learn how to watch some wrestling? I can help you.
Nah, I used to watch wrestling.
We don't like Roman Reigns. There you go. There's your first tip.
Why don't we like him?
Because he's the chosen guy. He's the anointed one, and we don't like him.
He's a heel?
No, well, he's not supposed to be.
What?
But
that doesn't make sense. Someone's not doing a very good job in the marketing department.
But the fans don't like him. He's Vince's chosen guy, and he's like a Superman, but the audience is like, hey, you're not. We don't like you.
You're cool. Isn't everybody still like John Cena or whatever? Or is he busy trying to suck at acting in movies?
He's still around. He's still doing. He wants to be a movie guy now. He wants to be the next Rock.
He doesn't have the charisma.
He does not.
But yeah, somehow that's WTP Coach Dan. Brandon, why don't you go ahead and tell us about Brando Cash Entertainment?
That's right. Go to BrandoCash.com. Get all the information you're ever going to need about Brando Cash Entertainment. Go to Facebook.com/WTP Podcast. Like us, follow us over there. Follow us on Twitter at WhatThePuckPod. Whenever a new show comes out, you'll be the first to know. I think that we might try to do some more Facebook Live instant reaction videos this time around after a couple games. So after the Stanley Cup games, you can jump onto Facebook and we might be talking to you guys, taking some questions or just giving our thoughts about that. So facebook.com/WTP podcast. Check us out over there. All right. We do this show for free. You listen, stream, and download for free on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Play Music, and Satchel. All we ask in return is for you to please spread the word about the show. The Stanley Cup playoffs are starting. And there's a bunch of friends that you have that are not hockey fans, and the best way to get them prepped is to tell them to listen to us. So let your friends know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat, anywhere you are social on the web with your phone. Say, I'm a Washington Capitals fan, I listen to What the Puck, and you should too. So until we talk again, let's talk about the schedule coming up. So, obviously, these are all up against the Toronto Maple Leafs. You're not going to see the first game on Wednesday the 12th because the Red Hot Chili Peppers are playing Verizon Center. So, we have to wait one extra day.
Because the ice is probably going to suck the next day.
Yes. So, on Thursday, April 13th, the Capitals up against the Maple Leafs. That game is at 7 o'clock. You can watch that locally on Comcast Sportsnet or on the USA Network. Then the Capitals play on Saturday, April 15th, that game is on NBC Sports and CSN locally here, Washington, D.C., and Maryland, 7 o'clock. And then on Monday, April, on April 17th, the Capitals are in Game 3, NBC Sports or CSN locally. And then Game 4, April 19th, 7 o'clock, NBC Sports, Comcast Sportsnet. So, locally, nationally, in Canada, you get to watch these first four games, and we'll do a show after game four, and we'll be discussing about whether or not game five is even going to be needed. So
don't jinx it, dude.
I'm trying not to. I'm trying, but we're past jinx here, I think. The Capitals have lost enough. in the playoffs. We're past jinxing. This team's too good. All right. So that is it for the show this week. I hope we got you ready, got you prepped for the Stanley Cup playoffs. This is the best time of year. If you're a Caps fan, if you're a hockey fan in general, Stanley Cup playoffs. Can't wait. All right, guys, that is it for the show this week. Say it loud, say it proud. Let's go, Caps.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by DJ Wolfman. Voiceover by Sarah Jacks. For more information, go to brandocash.com.